We have a baby dedication this morning. Well, all morning long when you're in the presence of the Lord, it's a good way to come to church. Hallelujah. We're going to dedicate this morning Ashley Janda. Is that the right pronunciation? So if the parents would bring up little Ashley Janda, we'll be dedicating her this morning. Hallelujah. 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 This is one of Mike Burkhart's daughters. Did you guys know that? And they're the grandparents? Praise God. We keep it in the family, huh? Look at this little one. He's so beautiful. You know I got to show her to the congregation. Pass her around. Isn't she cute? She is so beautiful. Babies. Oh, she's beginning to wonder, should I cry or should I not? Hallelujah, you beautiful little one. Well, you know as well as I do, seeing how you're part of a church family, seeing how your parents run a church family, that we don't dedicate little kids except we dedicate the parents as well. So this little one, when she grows up to understand, she'll make the right choices in life to remain with the Lord. And we know that the Holy Spirit will work in her little heart and life. She's so cute. So let's all just lay hands on this little one. Let's pray in agreement. Hallelujah. Just repeat after me, honey. Father.
Father.
I thank you for this little life.
That has come into my life.
Children are your heritage.
I give her back
as I give myself to you.
So that when she grows up,
she'll always remain with you.
Holy Spirit,
come upon me and my little one.
And never depart.
Speak to her.
Speak to her innermost being.
And she will always
abide in the house of the Lord.
Forever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What a little blessing, huh? What a little blessing. This is something she can use. Thank you, Johanna. Praise God. Hallelujah. Something about holding a little baby in your hands and dedicating them to the Lord and see to it that they're in church and they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. Can you imagine how many children that have been raised in a non-churched home? And you hear all the time about those children losing their lives. Even after they've reached the age of accountability, they give their life over to the enemy, our arch enemy. And if something should happen to them, and usually they do, and they lose their life. Can you imagine instantly being ushered into eternal damnation? I shudder at the thought of one soul being lost to that. Dave Roberson gave a an illustration one time of intercession. I don't know if any of you heard about that. But in his illustration of interceding, he was interceding for his son. And Satan wanted his life, him and his friend's life. And in the struggle of intercession, some of you have heard this testimony, I know you have. In the struggle of intercession, Satan was bringing an accusation to Dave's prayer closet that he had a right to the life of his son because of his rejection of the gospel. And Dave said, "Well, I want to remind you, Satan, that he's my child. And if I'm not around to exercise my authority, there would be no hope for him, but there is hope for him. Because I'm standing in the gap for him, and you cannot have his life." Amen. And they were in Bremerton, over there in Bremerton. And they were in a party. They took some drugs. And Satan made his declaration, but when it came to his own son, there was an angel standing behind him, son, with his arms crossed. That evening, the two kids passed out in the living room. They threw him into the bedroom. Dave's son was turned over by an angel, and when he threw up on the carpet. But the other boy, when he threw up, he died. Because he drowned in his own vomit. And Dave said he saw the vision of the boy stepping out of his body and looking at himself on the bed and started crying for his mother. And then he descended downward. What a shock. Carol was sharing with me how she was reading a book on hell. She's having a hard time trying to finish it because those are not edifying things to read about. But when John gave me two CDs of a man and woman's testimony of their visitation there, the first CD I got through and I started doing a checkup from the neck up. And then when we got to the second CD, it was so much a witness to the first CD that I shut it off. I said, "I can't hear no more." Because it was a putting a fear in me that I'll never forget. Every once in a while, their words and their testimony come to plague my mind. People, we are in a crooked and perverse generation. We are in a very, very influenceable, corrupt cosmos or system right now. And boy, it really is important how we see to it that not only do we have an understanding of the Word of God, but our children as well. Amen. I do not believe that babies go to hell just because the parents were not saved. I believe that when little babies or little children lose their life, they're instantly with the Lord because they're in a state of innocence. God can't bring them to judgment when they have no history. The sad thing about taking little babies' lives is that they have no chance at life for rewards for the kingdom of God. But sometimes those little babies that go there, maybe it's good that they do go there. You know, not that it's good they lose their life, but man, some of them little babies might have grown up in an environment where they never would inherit the kingdom of God. Because you must be born again in order to inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't say you must be at the right church. It doesn't say you must be under the right doctrine. It doesn't say that you've got to be influenced by the right people. All as Jesus told Nicodemus, he said you must be born again. Now those little babies in the process of going to heaven, God just recreates them little spirits on the way up. If he can recreate our spirit while we're in our physical human body, he could sure do it on their little transfer of their little spirits into heaven. Amen? Give your children a chance to understand the kingdom of God at all costs. Well, that was free. This will cost you more time. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we're not about ready now to step into the Word of God. I ask that you guide my lips, anoint them and guide them, and I ask that you anoint the ears to hear and guide their understanding, Father, so that revelation, the mystery of our faith, comes alive in them in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about the element of authority. This is one thing that you need to understand to be a success, not only in natural life, but in spiritual life. And we were bringing out that if a man's successful in the natural, it's because he's successful in the spiritual. And so I wanted to approach this from a little different angle by bringing out the fact that really what is so important to every one of us before we even get to the mechanics of how to submit to authority, I brought out last week the importance of your spiritual growth, because your spiritual growth will always gain control of your natural thinking or your natural mind or carnal mind. If you do not see, some people are wannabe Christians. They've heard about the Lord. They've even been born again and even spirit-filled. But they're not doers of the Word of God. They keep assimilating the Word of God. They keep hearing it, but they're not performing it. And God is not looking for some works program. He's looking for transformation so that when you do perform the Word of God, it's out of the nature that He's planted within you. Because the nature that He has planted within you, number one, is the only way you can know God. And number two, knowing God, in other words, coming to revelation, is by that nature that He's given you. The nature is the nature of God in you to decipher or to interpret the Word of God. Amen? And then, number two, the reason that's important is because the life and nature of God in you has to operate out of your, or through your, natural mind. And that's scary. Because your natural mind has a voice of its own. That's why your conscience, the outer conscience, the natural mind, has to be purged or cleansed. It has to be purified in how it thinks. Because most of the time, out of your natural mind, you do perform that. But there's nothing more struggling in our life. It is for our natural mind to have a communication to us, and then we perform it and regret it. Now, y'all hadn't been in that situation, never. You know, just moi. But I'm the only perfect one here anyway, so. But it's very frustrating, especially when some things that your natural mind has such deep roots in you, they're not easy to pull up. But you have to do it. You have to take dominion almost daily, but some things are harder to take dominion over than others. But with God's strength in you, you can handle every one of them. Amen. I don't care what anybody says, you can handle every one of them. Now that I clarified that, let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and let's look at natural under authority. Now, we've been talking about the authority that the Word of God has to have over your thinking, over your mind. But there's a place that none of us are really equipped to endure, especially when we start coming to church and being involved in a community church. There's where things really challenge us. You know, because when you start rubbing elbows with people, that'll tell you what you're made of. You know, I don't care whether it's in church or out of church. When you start rubbing elbows with people, then all of a sudden some things begin to surface on the inside of you that if the Word of God doesn't have rule over your thinking, there'll be some things cropping out of you that God's not acquainted with. And And the closer that I'm moving towards God, the more I'm beginning to come to self-examination of myself and less vindicating of myself. And boy, that's not a comfortable place to be, people. You know, every one of us in this sanctuary, every one of us can sit there and have a conversation with God as long as the light's not turned on us. If the light would turn on everybody else instead of us, we'd have no problem communicating with God. Why? Because He's not picking on you. But God will not carry on a conversation of self-vindication with you. You know how God vindicates you? He vindicates you by seeing to it that you're changed on the inside so that it comes on the outside. Then men begin to honor and respect you. And that's how God vindicates you. See, but yet we want to be self-vindicated and take our stand against somebody, and that ain't going to work with the kingdom of God. And I went through it here a few years ago. I got to the point where I was over there in 1st and 2nd Timothy. I got to both books tell us what kind of people are going to be in the last of the last of the last days. And I thought it was very unfair that I had to be pastor over a church that would deal with the last of the last of the last day people. And my argument was this. You laugh at that, but my argument was this. God, I am not Paul the Apostle. And I am not the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got some issues. And you know the story. He said, well, okay, I'll get somebody else. And you know, you'd like to think that this church is going to survive because I'm here. You got another thing coming. The only reason that the church will survive, or any church will not shipwreck, is because the leader has a whole different way of thinking than the way the church as a whole does. And you see, I never realized these scriptures until God started cutting away at me, that these scriptures were designed for me, not to vindicate me against you. And so God was just telling me, you know, if you have an issue with my people, then you're not the one that should reside over them. Just move on. He says, you'll stay faithful to me. But you're going to come to an impasse where you won't grow spiritually anymore. He says, because what I have to do is I have to get into your heart and life to where you serve me unprofitably without question for the sake of people's lives. Well, you know what my argument was? You know what my argument was? I have too many faults. I have too many mistakes. And I have to lead by an example, and I've sure blown it. And the Lord reminded me that in spite of my mistakes and where I've blown it, He said I would have been out of here a long time ago if they were a factor in His thinking. Oh, really? Well, you know what that did? It made me feel good that the Lord wasn't through with me.
Amen.
You know, I was through with y'all. But God wasn't through with me. Why? Because He ain't through with y'all.
Right. Amen.
He says you're just going to have to look at yourself with the information that Paul the Apostle prayed out and the Holy Spirit's bringing you to enlightenment of, that you can do the same thing that He's capable of doing. And I had to muster within my own heart to be able to do that. But here's what He shared with me. And I want you to get a hold of this, because we're over in 1 Peter, right? 1 Peter chapter 5. And this will help you understand why I took my stand, but in order for me to take it, I had to step outside of your lives and step into my life and make some changes. You know, when things begin to deteriorate, did you ever notice it? It's within all of us. It's within every one of us. If they would just straighten up, things would be fine.
Right.
I'm beginning to learn that if I straighten up, those things will be fine.
Yeah, that's
You see, because God puts it in our hands to be able to grow and strengthen ourselves and become strong in the things of the Lord, not dependent upon how people respond to us. And most of us are victims of how people respond to us, rather than realizing God can take you to a place where no matter what happens to you, you're able to stand in victory. Because it's in your hands to change yourself so that that can happen. And so when God shared that with me, it made me begin to see something I'd never seen before, and it was this. That if I'm going to be a pastor, and I'm going to pastor you, then the only concern I need to really focus on is not who comes or who goes. The thing I need to focus on, am I committed to the Word of God?
Right.
If I am a pastor committed to the Word of God, then I have a place or a position with you that is valuable to the kingdom of God, and that is the Word of God over each and every one of you that God has given me to not want to run from. Now, and I said, Lord, you know, we have church history here. Not everybody's going to believe whether I'm making the right decisions or not. He said, that's none of your business. He says, what is your business is that I am fellowshipping with you. You're into the Word of God. You're giving yourself to it. Amen?
Right.
And as a result of that, he says, that's what you'll do for their life.
Right.
But you know what pastors are always committed to do? They're always challenged. Always push to be political about things. And boy, there's nothing more frustrating in your heart to be politically pressured because of relationships or associations. And so, what I had to do is I had to detach myself to that which is physical. And I had to reattach myself to people's lives from a spiritual aspect or a spiritual perspective. And boy, that eliminates partiality. And you know, some churches are growing in leaps and bounds because the minister is very partial with people. He's a politician. He's winning everybody over to himself. And you know something? If I ever get in that position, then somebody, one of y'all, ought to warn me.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something. I had to do this. I had to look at each and every individually through the Word of God to minister judgment or authority or whatever. It all had to be predicated on the Word of God over their life. Mm-hmm. And every application is different because y'all are different in where you are spiritually. And so I have to make a commitment. I've had to make judgments, decisions that I knew that I'd probably lose people in the process. But when you're free of who's coming and who's going, then you're free to put the Word of God over the life. It's up to them what they are going to do with it. But you as a minister or a place of authority, you have been given to God to watch over their souls. Period, over and out. Now, over the years, I have come to understand, and again, this is a struggle, but this has been years, I have observed and noticed it. And you know when I really started catching hold of what I'm about to share with you about what people think that they are qualified to be leadership? When I was put into a place of leadership. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you, church. I was the biggest failure that I know, submitting to authority, when I was sitting in the pew. But I'll tell you what, God took me through a season that really straightened me out, but it wasn't complete in me yet. Because He still had you as an issue. Are you following? Not you personally, but the church as a whole, people as a whole. But I never realized how much of a rebel I was until I got into my own ministry by the grace and mercy. Mercy of God. And I think the reason God allowed it is simply predicated on the fact that He could reach my heart, because He saw down through the time that I would be willing to submit my fellowship with Him and submit myself to the Word of God to correct me.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Some things God allows because He sees a goodness in you that will follow through to the end. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, that's different with each one of us. But I had left a ministry and started my church. And I began to realize that a lot of the people were leaving that ministry and coming over to mine. And next thing, they were holding meetings and they were just tearing that ministry to pieces. And right in the midst of that, and I'm sitting there agreeing with them, because I saw all the ministry faults as well, because I was a part of that ministry. And so I'm sitting there agreeing with them, and I'll never forget this one young couple came to me, and they were in my office, and they were sitting there, and they were just tearing this ministry apart, and I was validating it. Yeah, that's right. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Right in the middle of that, God told me to shut up. Kick those two out of my office because they were in rebellion to authority, and get on my knees and repent, and never ever attack that ministry ever again. And I said, here's what I said. I said, well, I ain't going to tell them to shut up right here, and not when they're right in my face. I'm going to do it with a little finesse. And God said, no, do it to their face right now. Do it. That's a little cruel. And the Lord reminded me, yeah, love has got to be tough sometimes. And I said, stop, you two, stop. The Lord just rebuked me. And I think it best that you leave. I need to search out what the Lord's telling me. And the Lord says, no, that's not what I told you to tell them. You tell them that they're in rebellion, and you're not going to listen to it no more, and ask them to leave. And He says, and you get on your knees. And that's what I told them I had to do. They looked shocked, never saw them again. Well, if I was in their shoes, I'd be hurt too.
Yep.
And then it was, of course, through the process of time, I shut down. I never talked against that ministry again. I shut it down. It was coming out in my sermons. It was just loaded in me. And that rebellion, I had to shut it down. I didn't know how to deal with it, but I shut it down because I was so right at what I was seeing that was so wrong. You know, God doesn't care what you see that's wrong. He cares about how you react to what you see to make it right. And so I figured I got that monkey off my back, and man, I was just having a joy of the Lord, and I was praying, and I shared this testimony, and all of a sudden it felt like I had concrete cement 5 feet over me where not one prayer would go to the Lord. And that's where the Lord told me, until I still get my heart right with this minister, He was not interested in anything else I had to say until that was dealt with. And I said, well, and I was struggling with it myself, and I said, I don't think I can do that. And the Lord says, well, we will not have a conversation until that is taken care of, and then we'll go further from there. You know, a lot of us don't realize that when God has got control of your life, He ain't going to let you pass something until that's dealt with. Then He'll move on with you.
Yeah.
And see, the trouble with us, a lot of us, we bury what God's saying, and we move on anyway, and we don't have God with us. That's how you get messed up. That's how you get all screwed up in your thinking, is because somebody doesn't have control of your soul, and Jesus is the bishop of our soul, whether we like it or not.
Amen.
And so He flat told me, He says, I want you to call him, and I want you to be very direct and tell him you are wrong. And when I called him and told him, he says, well, I knew all that anyway. You know, that comes back into Proverbs. It says, when you tell something, it's like it gets on wings and flies around, and everybody else knows it.
Right.
And then the minister started telling me what he heard, and I says, yep, that's right, that's right, that's right. Yeah, I did say that. You know how embarrassing that is? I felt like I wanted to turn into a mole and crawl in the ground and hope somebody tries to catch me, because I'm going to be fast. And he said, well, I forgive you, brother. I'll send you my Bible. So he did. Signed in there, I know you love me. Well, you know, those are impasses in our life we have to face. Now, if you look at 1 Peter 5 here, and we're going to cover the direction, both directions, your direction towards authority and my direction towards you as authority. Notice what it says here, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Notice he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. Not by constraint, because you must. And there is where I was in error. I was doing it because I must. Now notice this. But willingly, eagerly, of a ready mind is what he's talking about. Not for money, but of a ready mind. A mind that is willing eagerly to do this. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. You see, when you're authority over God's people, the only authority that you really have over you, that I have over you, is the example I have. And the sad thing about it is, sometimes my example is not the best. But I'll tell you what example is the best. And that is, you're to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Or I could put it this way. In spite of my shortcomings, you're still committed to deliver yourself through the Word of God. Because the Word of God doesn't come short in any avenue. Because it is the power to deliver your soul. Now notice this. God told me the only thing you need to be concerned about is that you preach and that you teach and that you live what you know of the gospel. Even though you fall short, brush yourself off and keep going, because I'll extract all the darkness that could ever come into your life if you keep in fellowship with me. And thank God I'm in fellowship with my Lord. Hallelujah. Now notice what he says here. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, those who are allotted to your care. They belong to God. But he says here, being lords mean exercising their authority, or your authority, through control tactics. Through control tactics. You hear it all the time when churches come into a place where there's going to be a church split. Pastors rear up and try to take control over God's heritage by using the Word of God to control them. When they've already destroyed their people's ability to look at them as an example. Are you guys following what I'm saying? When you hear about some ministers taking a nosedive, falling, that minister is asking a lot for the people whom they were to submit themselves to. All of a sudden have to look through their fall to rekindle some form of leading out of that pastor because he went and did it wrong. Amen? Amen. And so we struggle with this all the time as ministers of the gospel. But there are principles here by the Word of God that we got to adhere to. And one of them is that we have to be in samples. We have to do it because a willing mind or a willing heart. We have to do it because we love God and we love you. Right. You know, some minister told me one time, he says, well, the only reason I'm doing this, all the hell I've been through, is because I love God. And I says, no, you don't. You don't love God because you would love the people that you are accusing of putting you through hell. So that attitude's got to change. And I'm going to tell you, I started to tell you this. You know, until I was put into authority, I was really challenged. Because one day, the authority I was put into, one day somebody called and wanted to talk to me, and I went over to talk to them, and they sat in this house of pancakes in a certain place and unloaded who I am submitted to as an authority, and unloaded a bunch of trash, and my mind was so blown because I had discovered something behind the scenes that I didn't know how to deal with, and I turned to him and I says, I rebuke you. I says, you gave me information, whether it's true or not. It's information you gave me you shouldn't have given me, because you know my position is for this ministry, and I'm just not going to be moved by that. I'm going to go and seek God, and if God says don't be concerned about it, I'm going to go on as though I hadn't heard the information. And the information didn't go away in my mind. I was constantly thought of it all the time. But you know something? I never realized that within me there was crops of disgruntledness and coming up out of me. And I didn't realize it was there. And finally, one day I had to sit down and say, I got to pay attention to what I represent. If I'm going to represent them as authority, I've got to forget the past and move on with the future. And here's what I come to the conclusion of. As long as God is in that ministry and lives are being changed and people are being saved, are you following me? As long as I see a good positive change and I see him moving forward, then who am I to abandon what God is still in? Then I would have to say, no longer can I be a leader because of one man's mistake momentarily. Then that means I have to abandon even what God has not abandoned. When you walk, brothers and sisters, you got to walk 100%. But you better be careful when you walk 100%. You better make sure God is through. You better make sure that there's Ichabod over that ministry. You better make sure that he's finished. Because what you're doing is contrary to what Jesus himself would not do. And that's to abandon a good work of God. And I said, well, Lord, if that's the case, I'm going to get more committed. I'm going to cover that man. I'm going to do everything I can. And I'll tell you what. I've been blessed by it ever since. And God's still working there, and God's still working in me. Hallelujah. It's funny, isn't it? You don't think of that. You know what the American church is full of? A lot of distrust. They don't really think that their leader can administrate things properly unless, first of all, they have their approval. That's called distrust. You've got to trust in your leader. You've got to know that if he makes any judgment over anybody's life, it's because he's prayed about. And there are things that I know about your life personally you'll never know I know. But because you've made me your pastor, and I'm preaching some things that's hard for me to preach about bragging on myself. But it's not bragging on myself in a form of pride. It's to let you know that there's a position I take with every one of your lives. And I have to determine within myself what is best for you if you ever come to judgment before me. I have to search within my heart that I got to apply the Word of God over you personally and not partially. But personally, is your life moving on with God? Well, here's what I look for. When I look for leaders, when I look for what I need, and it's getting more and more difficult in the church because it seems like I'm losing ground than gaining ground. But we're in an impasse. God's going to do something to our church. I don't know what it is, but he's going to do something to many churches. He's going to get a lot of churches back in line with the Word of God, and we're not to compromise for that. And I'm going to struggle through it. I've been called to a good work. I've been called to a good people. I love you, and I'm willing to give my life for you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is what I look for when it comes to the Word of God. Number one, is the person faithful to the Word of God in their life? That's the first thing I look for.
Yeah.
It ain't what they want me to look for. It's what I look for. I'm telling you what I look for. Number two, do they grow closer to the church or away from the church? Because if I'm truly confident that I'm preaching the Word of God, then one thing I want to see in people, am I draw them closer to me or further away? If I see them being drawn further away, it's because then I'm not leading their life. And if I'm not able to lead their life, I have to go back and check up. Am I leading their life by the Word of God?
Right.
Because that is the only thing that gives me authority to lead you, is the Word of God. Without me knowing the Word of God, I have no authority over you. I have zip over you. Because if God knows that I'm not committed to the Word of God, then He knows that I should not be over you
right.
with the Word of God.
Right.
Now, I can reside over you politically. But that wouldn't do you any good. I guarantee you it wouldn't do you any good.
Right.
Number three. Do things begin to change in the fellowship of those around them? Are they closer? Are their friends closer? Are they getting closer to their friends, family, whatever it is? Or are they more distant? Number four. If they're committed to the Word of God, what it means to them, do they become stable? Or do you see changes in them that are not good? Is their life becoming more stable? Or are you seeing changes in them that are not good? Number five. No matter what happens to them, is their fellowship with God and the Word of God strong? Not only with God and the Word, but with people. If you're strong in fellowship with God, you'll get strong in fellowshipping with people. You know, I never knew that was in my heart, but I couldn't wait to be called out of that other ministry. I couldn't wait to be called out of there because I was in such a disagreement with everything. And I had another vision anyway. And I never realized, I had no idea whatsoever what it meant to submit to authority. I served by His Word, most independent, rebellious pastor there was. Thank God for the grace and mercy of God. Now, number six, do they submit well to those around them? Or are they a distance in real spiritual over everybody? And point number seven, which I really look, they're not perfect, but are they teachable? You can't look for perfect people, but you got to look for teachable people. You know something? Even sometimes when the Lord has put somebody in my heart for leadership, sometimes I view their life and I say, well, Lord, I don't. And the Lord said, they're moldable, they're workable, and they're teachable. Stay close to them and work with them.
Right.
Now, here's usually what people, instead of God putting them into a position, if they force their way into a position, here's what they do. They force themselves into a position as a hireling. And here's the things that I've noticed over the years. Not only has it been true with those in my congregation, but it's also been true with me in other congregations. Number one, this was my biggest error. God has told me, if I wanted a position within the church, I would use what God has told me. I don't care whether the leadership heard anything from God or not. That made me idiot number one. Because if God really has told you about something, guess what? He'll put it in their heart the same. You know, when God first spoke to me, He says, Jan, He says, I'm going to make you a regional director for Kenneth Hagin Ministries. I went, wow, I got excited about that. Never realizing what I was getting into. And you know what? I didn't politics with them, nothing. Never called him nothing. One day, another pastor out of California came and visited our church. And he was amazed at the work I was doing. And we had fellowship, good fellowship, and he was a regional director, region number one over his area. And he said, wow, you're really doing a great work. And he was just excited and everything. And of course, that made me feel good, you know. And he says, well, you know, you have probably about one of the best ministries on the West Coast. And he says, you even passed me up. And I went, whoa, wow. You know, of course, when I left, I went, yes, I knew God was behind me. You know, not knowing the hell that was going to start. But I went to homecoming one year, and Kenneth Hagin was carrying all these boxes and stuff and dropped them and said, Jan! And I stopped and I said, now, as far as I was concerned, he didn't know me from Adam. And I said, oh, hi, how you doing, dude? He says, man, I'm glad to see you. He says, we're going to be contacting you. And I went, oh, well, then he walks off. Do you know what that does to your mind? I'm going to be contacting you. It's like you're going to the principal's office. One day they called me and said, we had some information about your ministry, and we showed it to the whole church, and said, we want to know if you'll take over Region 1. It was that pastor that came and visited me. He was going to Region 2. And I says, well, what regions does he have? He says, well, he has California and he has Hawaii. And what regions do I have? Well, you have Washington, you have Oregon, you have Alaska, you have Montana, desert region. And why don't you kind of run up in Canada a little while? And all he's got is California and Hawaii. That's not fair. He abandoned his post so I could take it so he could have his post. Yeah, oh. But I got so excited on the inside, and I accepted. And been blessed ever since. Hallelujah. But God has told me, number one, that does not qualify you unless God has told us first. Number two, this is one you have to clarify. Write this down. This has to be clarified. I'm faithful. I've been here a long time and I've served faithfully. This is politics. Number three, I have gifts and talents that qualify me. They're God-given. And you better recognize them. That came out of me. Here's another one that came out of me. People have borne witness of my approval. That was in my thinking. People have borne witness of my approval. One time I gave a prophecy in that last church, and man, and it was approval for me. And I had several people come up and say, you know what? I believe the Lord told me you're the pastor. I put a little seed there. Are you following me? Warren, you were there at that time. He sat under me there at that church. And I'm sitting there, and I started gloating. The fact that I had the witness and approval of other people. Jerry, you were into that. And here's another one. If I didn't get my way, I'm not the only one to blame. Don't you blame me. God has called me. God has proven to me. And I'll start vindicating myself on everybody else. And, of course, I grew away from that ministry. Rather than meshing to it in vision first. Are you following me? See, you'll do what it takes to qualify. Now, notice what he says here. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and all of you submit one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And this word for mighty here is a Greek word, kratos, which means rule of the people. Humble yourselves under that which is the rule of the people. A ruler over God's people. And he's dealing with not only the leaders, he's also dealing with the followers. The leaders have to be right towards the people because they belong to the Lord. And the people need to respond back to the leader because he had been appointed by God. David understood this more than anybody. And he had a bad example to submit to. His name was Saul, but David protected Saul, gave his life to Saul, in spite of Saul, because he recognized Saul was appointed by God, and God would deal with it.
That's right.
Christians that try to question and deal with leadership in an unsubmitted attitude is not because they question whether the decision is right. They have no confidence in the decision the leader made. Now, we're going to have to close here in a minute. Now, verse 7, casting your care upon the Lord, care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting your care. Now, we've had a lot of good messages on that. If you don't cast your care, it gives an open door to Satan because of the next verse. But in this text here, what he's talking about is the anxiety that begins to crop up and build within leaders and the anxiety that builds and crops up in followers. He said, if you take a care, if you let that disturb you and bother you, what you've done is you've opened up to the door for the enemy come and say, I can take them out because you don't understand authority.
Right.
Because it always breaks down to the Word of God. My position over you has to break down to the Word of God. And sometimes when people's heart's not open to submit to your authority, it's the most difficult thing to get across to them because you know they're not moving out of the mind of the Spirit. They're moving out of the mind of their flesh. And sometimes you can damage people if you're not careful how you take judgment over them. It's a struggle. It's a life and death struggle all the time. And that's what makes things so tough to minister, especially in this day and age, because we're the I-me generation, self-centeredness. Everybody is out to protect themselves. And more so in our culture. More so in our culture. Now, turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Boy, I understand the book of Hebrews now. So awesome, man. I wish I had time to teach it all in one service. But notice in Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, or considering their manner of life. Have they departed from the Word of God? I've known Christians that will attend a church and not even care about the Word of God because they say it's complicated, it's too difficult. And so I'm just not going to stay here because of the Word. Well, you know, God didn't give us the Word to be more complicated for you. You have to do something about positioning yourself to understand it. But I have to give myself to it. Amen? Because I have to lead you with it. Now, I want us to go a little further to verse 17. He says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, there's some very interesting words here in this verse that you need to understand. The word obey them that have rule over you is talking about you. You. And this word obey means literally to convince or to persuade. To convince or to persuade. In other words, you will be obedient so that you convince or persuade something. What would it be in this case? Those who have rule over you. In other words, your job is to convince me or persuade me that I am your spiritual leader.
Right.
That's your job. That's your job. Now, follow me here. And submit yourselves. Oh, man. You know what the Greek says? Surrender. Do you know why a lot of us don't surrender ourselves to leadership? Well, number one, leadership hasn't been the example they should be. And number two, leadership has not been committed to the Word of God.
Right.
You know what? If I am committed to the Word of God and I preach the Word of God to you, Billy, that gives you something to follow. But he could care less whether I have rule over this church or not. If I'm not preaching the Word of God, he can walk out of here and feel conscience free. Couldn't you, Billy?
Yes, sir.
And if I stopped and said, Billy, why are you leaving? You need to submit to authority. He turned to me and say, look it. If I'm going to submit to you, brother, you're going to have to develop me spiritually, and the wacko stuff you're teaching ain't going to develop me spiritually. I don't have to stay here. Period. Over and out. And that's true. Billy wouldn't be here anyway unless the Word of God was being preached.
Some of you, you could care less. As long as you get your position, you get your way, and you can do what you want to do, and you can get your fulfillment, and you can appease God. Because you attend a church. Don't do God any favors. Do yourself a favor. Don't do God any favors. Do yourself a favor. Some people won't submit to leadership unless they have a glory about them. Why? They look good. Yeah. Put their trust in men. Now notice this. You submit yourselves. First of all, the first thing he says is there's disagreement already. Because submission is not agreement. Submission is the power to obey. Regardless of whether you agree or not. And see, when people don't understand authority, they're not going to follow what they disagree with. They're out of here. Submit is no thinking in the reality. Now notice this. Submit what? Yourselves, for they watch over your soul. This word watch literally is a very interesting, attentive to spiritual things. It means they're attentive to spiritual things. I'm attentive to you spiritually. More than I am naturally. I have to come up with natural sermons. Notice this, because we must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. It means to get them into a position where they groan, they murmur, they complain. Leaders are murmuring, they're groaning, they're having a hard time dealing with you. It's frustrating. Said all to say this. But your position is to convince me that you're being led, not by my leadership, but what my leadership is surrounded around. It's called the Word of God. That's all. If I don't have the Word of God over your life, then I'm not a leader. Do you guys believe that? Yep. Bottom line is the Word of God. That's where all authority comes from anyway. If you're going to be an under-shepherd, the Word of God is your authority. If the Word of God is your authority, then under the under-shepherd, the Word of God will be their authority. Because as your masters are, so are you. If there's a ceiling on my life, it'll be on yours. The thing you got to know is you don't want ceilings on your life, you want the Word of God. It don't mean you have to agree with everything I say, but you need to get into the Word of God and find out if the Word of God's saying that. I wouldn't have received revelation knowledge if I'd have listened. Yes, if I'd have listened to the pastor I had at one time and began to take his say-so on Kenneth Hagin being a cult. See, I would have never went on. But I kept going back to the Word of God. And I kept looking at the Word of God and I kept saying, well, Kenneth Hagin is saying what's in the Word. I didn't know the man. I didn't know him at that time. But I knew that what he was saying is in the Word of God. So you know what I did? I learned how to submit to that pastor and submit to the revelation of the knowledge of the Word at the same time. And Jesus, that's how I got that visitation from the Lord. He was bringing a comfort to me. He was telling me I was solid. I was banging my head against a tree, not knowing who to believe. But I kept going back to the Word of God. But it is in the Word of God. How does he call him a cult? It's in the Word of God. 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 Glory to God. If it ain't there, then you become a hare and leave. Did you guys get something here today? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Oh, I thank you for the Word of God. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm so perfect, huh, Hal? If I would sit here and list all the mistakes I made, you'd all, what do you call, impeach me. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Word of God because that's the only thing that will govern any of our lives, no matter who's in what position. The Word of God has to govern our lives. And the Word of God has to govern our fellowship with you. And if our fellowship is right with you, our fellowship will be right with our neighbor. And so this morning, Father, if there be anybody here that has never been born again, born from above, and they've been hurt or damaged, not by just a church authority, but any kind of authority, not knowing how to respond, not knowing how to get out of situations with honor and integrity. And Father, they've been struggling their whole life. It has robbed them of jobs. It's robbed them of money. Father, we want to get them born again, brought into the kingdom of heaven so that their life will begin to flourish. Everything they put their hand to will begin to prosper. Hallelujah. Everything that they desire to do in life can be succeeded by the Word of God in their life, but they must be born again. And if you're here today and you've never said the sinner's prayer and you want to come on into the kingdom of God, boy, that is the best place to start. Hallelujah. For becoming a new citizen of a higher calling out of a more distant place than this one. Hallelujah. And God began to put victory in your heart and you can overcome the world by the victory that He puts into your heart. Hallelujah. So if you're here and you want salvation, we want to minister that to you. If you're also here and you've been out of fellowship with the Lord, you've been born again, you've even been filled with the Spirit, but you've broken fellowship with the Lord. You've broken fellowship with the Word of God. And you'd like to get back into fellowship with the Lord and the Word. Hallelujah. Then you'll be in fellowship with people. Hallelujah. You'll be able to move and function and have your being again. Hallelujah. And so if you're here, and you want to restore that fellowship, we want to be the first to pray for you. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, oh people, the Word of God will just automatically open up for you more than ever. Understanding the Word of God is how you live and move and have your being. Hallelujah. So if you fit in one of those three areas, we have altar ministers here this morning that will minister to you. Feel free to step out and come forward. Hallelujah. Feel free to step out and come forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep standing just for a minute. I sense that there's somebody in here that you're so full of fear that you've come to the end of yourself. You don't know what to do. This fear has gripped you and you want to be free from it. It's been a culmination of many things that have just flooded in and you feel like just you're all alone and you have no strength. You have no one to gird or protect you. You're just so frustrated that this fear is overcoming you. If you're here this morning and you want prayer, you want to get set free from that. It doesn't mean that we have all the answers for why the fear came, but I'll tell you what, when the spirit of fear gets a hold of us, we need, hallelujah, the laying on of hands, and we need that anointing deliver and set you free so you can gather your senses about you and begin to move forward like you're supposed to. If that fits you, don't hesitate. Step out and come forward. Anybody? Is that fear? Man, I kept just plaguing me. There's a fear over your life. And I think it's a woman. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Come here, sweetheart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, rotishkede. Oh, Lakasha. Start praying, saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father, in the name of Jesus. She has a right to freedom of fear. Hallelujah. She has a right to it. Hallelujah. And when we lay hands on her, Father, we're going to know that she is going to be set free. So she has a right to gather her senses about her and not depend on natural man, but begin to depend on you, Father. Hallelujah. For the answers to her life. Oh, hallelujah. Satan, you spirit of fear, you lift your hand off of her life. You'll not control it no more. You're the wisdom of God will begin to operate in her heart, and Father, give her a peace so she knows the way in which to go in Jesus' name. And no man, no one can lock her up anymore. She doesn't have to fear. She can be free of it in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Tish. I want you to go with her and minister to her. I want you to go with her and open your heart up to her, sweetheart. Okay, would you do that for me? Okay. There needs some discernment of application there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who's in pain? There's somebody here in extreme pain. I'm sensing it. Who is that? You're in pain. Hallelujah. 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 Is it the back? Hip? Neck? Oh, rotishke. Sonny? Pain? Hip? Rip? Oh, on the side? Okay, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You know, it says Jesus carried our pain. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, He bought it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want this pain to remove itself from her neck, from her side and hip. In the name of Jesus, any accident, Father, we want her back in perfect shape, functioning as she ought to. In the name, there. Oh, wow. Oh, man, did you feel? In the name, down through her. Oh, clocore, she get it. Ha-la-la-la. She, whoo, her arm shot up about 3 inches there. Hallelujah. 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 Get him up there, sonny, honey. Oh, release. Oh, look at that. Oh, kondaha. Into moshke, down in. Father, we want all pain to leave in the name of Jesus. All pain to leave in the name of Jesus. We want healing in there. We want it in there in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We want all the pain to go. All of it to go. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray over Ray as Cordella stands in for him. He fell and hurt his back. And Father, in the name of Jesus, be healed, Ray. Ho, 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 ho. Do you feel that power? Father, in the name of Jesus, Ray is healed. For Ray is healed in the name of Jesus. What you following around for? You're supposed to hold me up. You're not supposed to be tripping over your own feet.
Hallelujah.
Your hips? Okay. Hallelujah. Let's see. Release in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Father, we want... Woo! Glory! 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 Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Who's been having some sharp pains like in the stomach area? Who is that? Somebody's been having some very sharp pains in their stomach area. Hallelujah. You also find it hard to keep food down. Who is that? Hallelujah. Don't sit there and say, well, I'm in heaven then, and I mean, would the Lord call me out? Yeah, you would. Hallelujah. 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 We'll quit here in just a minute. Ho, ro, kisha. Oh, ho, ho. Why did you hesitate? Okay, here goes. You're going to get it right in your stomach. Father, heal that stomach right. Body, you heal up. Boy, do you feel that anointing? Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that stomach to be totally restored, all pain leaving. Any pain? Was there pain there before? Oh, enlarged liver. We want to include that. All the parts work together, Father. We want the enlarged liver back to normal. Yes, we speak normality into that liver. I command you, liver, to be... Oh, yeah. Woo, glory. 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 What is it? Oh, you're okay, Father, in the name of Jesus. Did you have any pain coming up here?
A little.
Not that much. Do you have any pain now?
Uh-uh.
No, you know why? You're already under the anointing of that healing. Hallelujah. Be healed in the name of Jesus. There it is. There it is. You are going to be able... Uh-oh. Hallelujah. That thing is going to begin to function again. Woo-hoo, glory, 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 glory. Okay. Oh, she needs a healing. And there's a little virus in there. We're going to get rid of the little critter. He's going to die. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing into this little girl. Oh, there it is. Oh, glory to God. Little kids, man. They're just sitting there. Hey, take it in, man. Does that feel a little better, honey? Oh, you are a pumpkin. You're beautiful. Hallelujah. What you need, Misa? Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father, in the name of Jesus. Jonathan hurt his ankle. And Father, as Misu stands in for him, we want a fast recovery on his ankle. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Misu, for standing in for him. Hallelujah. You're going to see a big, quick change on his ankle. Do you feel the anointing of God there? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 You ready to receive? Hallelujah, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, oh, boy, are you expectant. Hallelujah. Is the word of God ever on your, the healing power of God is on you? You're getting it. You're getting it. You're getting it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Stomach?
No, my back still
bothers a lot. This is a back. Okay. Lift your hands up over here.
He's got the flu.
He's got the flu. For her husband, Father, she's standing in for him. We command that virus to, there it is. We command, oh man, it's working already. And Father, she's struggling with her back. Get your arms up in the air as much as you can. There we go. Oh my, release in the name of Jesus. Oh my, my, my. Hallelujah. I wasn't going to fall. I'm just good at running. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, as she stands in for her brother, may the love of God just permeate that. Oh, well, thank you, God, for the visitation. Oh, oh. Cindy, with the visitation will come a change of heart and mind and the way he thinks in an area. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want this migraine to go away. Woo!
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father.
He's gone. He had a migraine headache. It's gone.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
You bet. What's your name? Mona. Please, you're fairly new to the church, right?
I've been here for a while, actually. It takes 2 summers ago. I was pregnant and had different hair.
It's gone, huh? Yeah. Hallelujah. You got it? You believe it? Okay. Okay. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming to agreement with Donna as she stands in for her mom. And, oh, man. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand in agreement with faith. In Jesus' name. We cast the whole of our care over on you, Lord, in that area of healing. Because, Father, you already paid for it through Jesus. We're taking advantage of what you paid for. We're not going to let you die in vain. And Father, in the name of Jesus, what you purchased, we have a right to. We exercise our authority over her mother and command her to be healed. In the name of Jesus and with the words of our mouth, according to the word of God, so be it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you so much for the word of God. Our service is a little long today, but Father, if you break in the area of the gifts, Father, I'm not going to be the one to shut you down. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, watch over this congregation this week. May they prosper and be in health. May the direction they go in be almighty God ordained. Father, preserve, protect, and nourish everyone here in Jesus' name. And with that, you're dismissed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.